This is Brother Peter Diamond here. There's a very interesting passage in Daniel chapter 14. It concerns the story of Daniel when he's in the lion's den. And Daniel had been put into the lion's den by the king of Babylon. And we read in Daniel chapter 14, verse 33 and following, that God spoke to Habakkuk and told him to carry dinner into the lion's den so that Daniel could have something to eat. And Habakkuk responded, quote, "Lord, I never saw Babylon, nor do I know the den." And the angel of the Lord took him by the top of his head and carried him by the hair of his head and set him in Babylon over the den in the force of his spirit, end quote. That's Daniel 14:34-35. So we read that God had an angel miraculously take Habakkuk by his hair and transport him into the lion's den in order to give something to Daniel so that he'd have something to eat. And I found this to be very interesting, not only showing God's miraculous powers, his providence, but also because it applies to this false idea that there are people who are truly of good will in ignorance of the gospel, and God doesn't reach them or can't reach them. And we, of course, have discussed this a lot and refuted this and pointed out how it's not consistent with Catholic teaching. And we've pointed out and quoted saints of the past, church teaching that all who die in ignorance of the gospel are not saved. And you can read a lot about this in our book, Outside the Catholic Church, There is Absolutely No Salvation, VaticanCatholic.com. And if there were someone of goodwill on a pagan island, etc., God would make sure that a preacher of the faith were sent to him so that he would know at least the essential mysteries of Catholic faith and be baptized, or God would miraculously make it available to him. And so I just thought that that was an interesting example of how God gets the truth to anyone of goodwill and how he does that or could do that, and how no one who dies without being incorporated through baptism and knowledge of the essential mysteries of Catholic faith, no one can be saved at all, no matter where he is, as the Church has always taught. Another thing that I wanted to mention was the interesting story in Daniel chapter 13 concerning the history of Susanna. And it's an interesting story how a woman was falsely accused of adultery by two unjust judges. And basically what happened was these two men saw this woman and they desired to commit adultery with her. They lusted after her, and we read that they had devised a plan and a scheme where they would try to confront her to commit adultery. Susanna was married. Both of them had determined that they would do this on their own, and they didn't make known their plan to each other. But as they were waiting to carry out their plot, trying to seize the opportunity when she was bathing, they found each other there, and they revealed what their plans were. And so they confronted her. She rejected them, knowing that they had threatened her with false accusations if she did not consent to them, where they would say that she's guilty of adultery. And so despite this threat and the very real possibility that she would be condemned to death if people believed the false accusations and the made-up story of the unjust judges, she rejected them and would not sin. And so she rejected them. The people eventually believed the judges' testimony, and the judges said that they came upon her after she had committed adultery with some young man. And so they accused her of adultery, whereas the truth was that they made this up after she had rejected them. And she was condemned to death until Daniel was given an inspiration by God to come to her defense and to confront these two unjust judges and show that their story was not consistent. And then the sentence was reversed and they were put to death. But what was interesting about it was, among many interesting things, what I found to be interesting was Daniel 13:10 says, quote, "So they were both wounded with the love of her, yet they did not make known their grief one to the other," end quote. And I found that to be an interesting and powerful articulation of the truth, that lust wounds people, it keeps them unhappy, it keeps them enslaved. They are discontented because they cannot have what they desire, and the happiness that they desire will not come with sins of the flesh. And so many people, countless people, are enslaved to sins of the flesh and lust, and are unhappy, just like these two unjust judges were. And it's only when people break from those sins, and break from those attachments and passions, that they can find true happiness, and be liberated. Another thing I wanted to quickly mention was the Vatican II quote bishop's recent statement congratulating Obama for the Nobel Prize. And the Vatican also issued a little statement on that issue. And, you know, people talk about, people in the Vatican II Church, how, oh, it's ridiculous to think that the Vatican II Church is the Whore of Babylon. The Catholic Church isn't the Whore of Babylon. The counterfeit Vatican II sect is. And this is another example which confirms that it is. I mean, how heretical do these bishops have to be? I mean, it's almost unbelievable. It's not sufficient for them to just hold their apostasy and spread it. They actually have to come out and give positive statements when Obama receives the Nobel Prize. And a real Catholic would condemn the fact that Obama received any award. So you might expect that they could at least, you know, just remain silent. They could just maybe shut up for a week. But no. They've got to actually, this apostate of Chicago, the head of the so-called Catholic bishops in the United States, Cardinal Francis George, he can't just remain silent when Obama receives the Nobel Prize. No, he's got to issue a positive statement praising this guy who's for total abortion, couldn't be more pro-gay almost. It's just so outrageous, and it just confirms again that you are dealing with the Whore of Babylon in the Vatican II sect. These bishops could hardly be more heretical. I guess that the only thing that's left for them to do is to publicly admit that they are not Catholic.